F1A. Number 1B.
So, let me try and summarize that first big subject of metaphysics and science in Christian Science. As I said, there is a little booklet about it that contains everything. Yeah, you know, this subject is important because in a general way, students of Christian Science talk about Christian Science as if it would be synonymous with metaphysics. For them, metaphysics is Christian Science is metaphysics, without any qualification of those terms. And this is dangerous. And therefore, we have to see what is the difference between those two, or we will have difficulty in understanding our whole week's work. Our whole week's work will have as a presupposition that we know the difference between metaphysics and science. What is metaphysics in general? Let's say general metaphysics. I put that term general as a qualification there in order to distinguish it more clearly from divine metaphysics and things like that. So metaphysics in general is the science of the mind or intelligence. That's the definition you find in the dictionary. It's just the science of mind, but that mind naturally is written with a small m, and it's also meant to be a small m, namely the science of the human mind, the science how we think, and the way our intelligence operates. So, let's first see what then is the metaphysics of Christian Science. And in order to show that, I must build up the subject quickly and show, well, metaphysics is that which comes after physics or above physics. That is a realm that is above the material realm, namely the mental realm. Now, Mrs. Eddy trod that way from matter to metaphysics and from there then to Christian Science. This especially when she refers it to healing, that she said that first naturally she was believing in allopathy, and then early she began to feel that she should make a further step out of allopathy, which is really relying completely on the material medicine, into homeopathy, which is already a healing method of mind over matter, but mind with a small m. So it's small m, mind over matter, where she began to see that that which heals in a material drug is much more the human mind than the material and the substance in matter. So from there she was making a further step to positive thinking, to treating or to the idea that we can heal with thinking without using any medicine, no matter if it's allopathic or homeopathic medicine, so that matter drops entirely, and so she entered the realm of metaphysical healing. But that metaphysics was ordinary metaphysics, namely just mind or thinking over matter. Just seeing that mind, small m, is something that has to be taken into account, and that if we take mind, small m, into account and train ourselves in mind method that has power over matter and can heal. But finding out naturally very soon that it has a positive and a negative aspect. That positive thinking will have a positive effect in the experience of our lives. That negative thinking will have a negative aspect in our life. Both those realms are metaphysics. They belong to the realm of ordinary metaphysics. Now, you know how Mrs. Eddy shows in various examples in the textbook that kind of ordinary metaphysics, some with very negative effects, like that man that was forced to lie in a bed where they said before somebody was dying in that bed who had leprosy, I think, yeah, leprosy, but was not true. And as he was forced to lie in that bed, he died of leprosy, showing, as he said, that the medical people did not know metaphysics. So that's ordinary metaphysics. That works both ways, positive and negative. So can you see that we cannot just say Christian Science is metaphysics or metaphysics is Christian Science? By far and wide, this is not true. So the main point in it is that we see in ordinary metaphysics, it's really the power of thinking that does something. So that in the mental realm, it is the power of thinking, the power of the human mind that brings about an effect, and therefore it is not the Christ that brings about an effect. Therefore, ordinary metaphysics has no Christ. It has only human willpower with which to work. Ordinary metaphysics says, look here, ye shall know them by their fruits. And we have fruits, we have effects. We can, with willpower, with other mental means, we can bring about effects, we can bring about healing. And therefore we have to be very careful if somebody comes along and there are thousands of different New Age groups that all rest on minds, small m over matter, that say, look here, we have the fruits, that we are careful and ask not of what are your fruits, but are asking what is the basis of your fruits. And only going back from effect to cause and examine cause, we will find out if that effect is a positive, always positive, and the remainingly positive effect or not. So Mrs. Eddy warns us of those that kind of metaphysics, to which we also can count faith healing. And she said faith healing sometimes brings forth much greater effects and quicker effects than a Christian Science treatment. Still, it is faith and not understanding, and warns against faith and faith healing. Though she herself, as we have seen at the beginning of her teaching, had to use positive ordinary metaphysics by introducing first to the students really the method of argumentation. So the method of argumentation again is just ordinary metaphysics that is channelized into a positive direction. And actually she tried to teach only the positive direction, namely through affirming the truth and denying error. Well, who is affirming the truth? The human mind is affirming the truth. Who is denying error? The human mind is denying the error. And you can say, see, that she had to introduce first really that method of argumentation, which was nothing else but ordinary metaphysics of a positive nature. Not knowing, as we know from her biography, that the students would turn it right, upside down, like Kennedy did it, and use it for in a negative way, for negative purposes. Until then, she found out she had to give another method of metaphysics. And so I come to the metaphysics of Christian Science. Now I qualify metaphysics as a metaphysics of Christian Science, giving a qualitative nature to metaphysics. There, when we ask, well, what is the metaphysics that we find in the textbook, then she says, well, argumentation is just the beginning of it. Just then, when we are not attuned really to the science of Christian Science, when we are not attuned to truth and love, then we use this ordinary positive metaphysics with positive thinking and affirmation and denial and so on. But her metaphysics, she said, is built on God. Namely, that the basis of the metaphysics of Christian Science is principle, the divine principle, God, and therefore it is the metaphysics of mind, capital M. Only then, when we have the metaphysics of mind, capital M, we have really the metaphysics of Christian Science. There, she says, that the category of metaphysics rests on one basis, namely the divine mind. So there she made the definite break, and you can see that as that unfolded from the first edition of Science and Health to the second to the third edition. Little by little she changed mind from small m into mind, capital M, or in divine mind with a D capitalized, mind still small m. So only after a few editions of really the textbook, she had a clear-cut definition what metaphysics is, namely when it rests on the divine mind. Then, from that point on, it was mind, capital M, over matter. See, ordinary metaphysics is also mind over matter, but mind small m. The metaphysics of Christian Science is mind, capital M, over matter. And at that point, she can see that if it is mind over matter, and you look out from mind, that matter disappears. Whereas in ordinary metaphysics, matter never disappears. And so she will qualify the term metaphysics according to the field of application, and will speak about divine metaphysics. You see, she qualifies metaphysics with the term divine metaphysics. It's always then when she treats of the existence of God, then it is divine metaphysics. Or she speaks about scientific metaphysics, like in the 14th chapter, and says the whole 14th chapter is pervaded by statements of scientific metaphysics, namely that metaphysics where divine metaphysics is reduced to a system, which is scientific. Then the moment we consider how ideas, the ideas of mind or the ideas of God, are related to each other, how they work together, how they blend together, the laws and rules that are dominating and controlling the flow of those ideas, at that moment you have actually scientific metaphysics. Or she speaks of Christian metaphysics, always then when it has to do with the Christ healing aspect. The moment it has to do with healing, with physical healing, then it is Christian metaphysics. So let's see this clearly about metaphysics. The term metaphysics must be, first of all, qualified. Must be qualified. And there is a great difference between ordinary metaphysics and the metaphysics of Christian Science. But now comes the main point. The main point is that actually what Mrs. Eddy discovered was not just metaphysics. It was science. And that's the point which John Dolley brought out in his last summer school in Oxford in 1949, where he began to see suddenly that we must have a clear view how we approach really the whole of reality. Do we approach it from the point of view of metaphysics, of Christian metaphysics, of divine metaphysics, or do we approach it from the point of view of science? What is that difference? What is the difference between metaphysics and science now? And this is something that should be of greatest interest to us, not only through this week, but from here onward, through the century. John Dolly defined it very simply, and if you have that definition in your mind, you always are safe. He says, metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas. Science is the contemplation of the infinite one, including all ideas. I state it again, I said metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas. Science is the contemplation of the infinite one, including all ideas. You can see at once, it is a matter of standpoint, namely contemplation, the way we look at something. How do we look at something? How do we look at reality? We can look at reality through metaphysics, through good metaphysics, through Christian metaphysics, through divine metaphysics. But we can look at reality also from the point of view of science, namely from the point of view of the infinite one. What is that step from metaphysics to science? You see, if as metaphysics and good metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas, now ideas are always ideas of God. So when he speaks about metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas, he means with that term metaphysics, naturally he means divine metaphysics, he means metaphysics of Christian science, because it's a contemplation of ideas, and ideas are always ideas of God, and they are always positive, they can never be negative. And it is that what we as students of Christian science have done mostly, that we were contemplating ideas. We are contemplating now, what are the right ideas in this situation? We are faced with any problem, and we say now there must be a right idea about that problem, or a right idea behind that problem, or there must be a right idea of which that problem is the counterfeit. Whatever the rendering is, we knew that the solution would be in ideas of God, because only ideas of God are always positive and therefore are always right, and therefore they always bring forth a good effect. Okay, so if we stay there, where we contemplate ideas, where in our prayer, where in our treatment, we contemplate ideas of God and see ideas of God and hold on to ideas of God and admire and worship ideas of God and see the beauty and grandeur of the ideas of God, then we are using metaphysics. That's not science. Now, the point is that if one goes through the textbook and asks oneself now, what is the main point or in Mrs. Eddy's discovery? Is it metaphysics or is it science? Then you see at once that she uses metaphysics only about 70 times in the whole textbook, whereas she uses science about 1,000 times in the textbook. And alone the quantity of those two terms already give us an indication of the quality of the textbook, and says, oh, fundamentally, the textbook speaks about science, and actually the textbook is mostly seen from the standpoint of science. What does that mean? It means, now we come to science, namely that science is the contemplation of the infinite one. It is not the contemplation of us, of our mind, how we contemplate idea. It's how God himself contemplates ideas, not we. Not we. And you feel at once a terrific change of standpoint taking place. The change of standpoint from we thinking ideas of God to another standpoint. God knowing himself and including within himself all the ideas of God. And this is the great paradigm shift in consciousness that we have to consider today and in the future, because right in this question is the main aspect of the change from the 6th to the 7,000 year period. As long as we are mostly interested engaged in knowing ideas and thinking in terms of ideas, in contemplating ideas, no matter if there are its ideas in divine metaphysics or in scientific metaphysics or in Christian metaphysics, it's still we contemplating ideas in their system. We are in the 6,000 year period. But the moment we have the ability, and naturally we are going to show that this is not something that you just can make up your mind and say from tomorrow on I think out from God, but this is then the piece of it, that the 7,000 year period is a period where we see only God's own contemplation of himself, including all ideas. And that naturally has nothing to do anymore with metaphysics. That is the science of God. And so we must see first clearly what the issue is. And it may be a shock at the first time, but great paradigm shifts don't come otherwise than by a shock, because the human mind is not willing to give in so quickly. It resists every progress. It resists every step forward. And that's what Mrs. Eddy complains constantly, that we are not willing to accept and to welcome a forward idea. So you can see metaphysics and science is like the light and the window pane. The window pane is like metaphysics. It lets light through. If it's clear, it lets the light through totally. If it's not quite clear, it only lets the light through partially, but it still lets it through. But the window pane is never the light. No matter how clean the window pane is, it's never the light. Light is science. And therefore, that light, that science, can use the window pane to shine through. But it doesn't need it. But it can shine through the window pane. It can shine through divine metaphysics and use metaphysics, because metaphysics is the science of ideas, so that the science of God can use the science of ideas. But it must be the science of God that is our main aim, the goal with which we want to, or to which we want to unfold. So, we can see that in metaphysics, we are thinking about ideas of mind, we are thinking about ideas of spirit and of soul and principle and life, truth and love, we are thinking about the ideas of the world and the ideas of the Christ, and we are thinking about the ideas of Christian science and absolute Christian science and divine science, we are thinking about, that's metaphysics. Science is when we see that there is only one consciousness at work, and that's the consciousness of mind, knowing itself as mind. The consciousness of spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love, knowing itself as the seventh synonymous term. It's the consciousness of the world and the Christ and Christianity and science, knowing itself as what it is, and working and operating in its own realm, and in the realm of the levels of science. And so we'll see that the practice of science and the practice of metaphysics are two very different things. In the practice of metaphysics, we always only use those ideas that are necessary for the case, the specific truth about the specific error. In science, we use that enormous redundancy principle, which is characteristic for God because He's all in all. And therefore, with the overflow and the superabundance of the synonymous term, with that we operate and practice, because that covers everything. Because a synonymous term like mind covers all ideas of mind, not just the specific ideas of mind. And so going out from the capitalized terms is going out from science, no more from metaphysics, and therefore gives to us a completely different practice and also a completely different goal in practice. And that's what we want to find out more and more also during this week. Okay, tomorrow we'll take the 1,000-year periods.